It's called congestion pricing.
And the idea is that when it's very congested, when there's lots of demand, the price goes up in order to encourage some number of drivers to either postpone their trip or carpool or figure out some way not to be on the lanes at that very expensive time.
Asha Weinstein Agrawal studies transportation and teaches at San Jose State University. She says the idea hinges on giving drivers a choice. For example, travel on a highway for free during off-peak hours or pay a toll during rush hour to travel in a less jammed up express lane.
The way congestion builds up on a road, you don't actually have to get everybody off to remove the congestion. There's usually a fairly small tipping point.
That tipping point is hard to quantify, but it's pretty small, around 5% of total traffic by some estimates. And diverting that percentage of drivers could make a big difference in Connecticut. Take, for example, the I-95 corridor from New York to New Haven. According to the State Department of Transportation, congestion increased there by 19% between 2001 and 2011.
The problems on I-95 South are extremely severe.
Tom Maziarz is chief of policy and planning at the Connecticut DOT.
You're looking at conditions out there where the traffic backup at its peak can get over 20 miles in length, and that's on a regular basis. That's not the exception. That is, in fact, the rule. And it lasts for not the normal two-hour peak period. It goes on for 4 hours, both in the morning and the afternoon.
And those delays cost money, about $670 million annually, stemming from things like delayed truck deliveries or late arrivals to work. Maziar says congestion pricing has proven itself elsewhere. In Miami, for example, the DOT says commute times during their rush hour were cut by 14 minutes after congestion pricing was introduced. Connecticut hasn't had tolls since 1989, following an accident earlier that decade that killed 7 people. And the DOT says they're not considering bringing the old-style toll booths back. The new system would have no gates. What they're talking about are electronically monitored fast lanes, passive systems that you drive through, which require no stopping, slowing down, or changing of lanes. But if you have to pay a toll to access the fast lane, is that fair to lower-income drivers? Again, Asha Weinstein Agrawal.
Certainly at face value, it is true that any kind of toll is going to be much more burdensome for low-income drivers to pay than for higher-income drivers.
But she says there are a lot of other factors to take into account, like the security of knowing you're not doomed to sit in a 20-mile traffic jam every rush hour. And Weinstein Agrawal says that while some projects meet early resistance, surveys show people of all incomes tend to come around.
For the most part, there are not big differences in approval based on income. So lower-income survey respondents, roughly at the same level as higher income respondents, say that they think the lanes are a good idea.
At this point, Tom Maziar says the Connecticut DOT is using $1.75 million in federal money to study the feasibility of congestion pricing. And it's by no means a sure bet. He says there's no magic bullet solution to I-95's traffic problems, and if the state decided to implement congestion pricing, highway planners would likely need to build express lanes, and they'd have to figure out how to plan and pay for that. Maziar says the results of their study should be out early next year. Until then, fire up a good book on tape and enjoy your wait in traffic. Patrick Scahill, WNPR News.